Okay. So I am from Tijuana, Mexico. So the northwest part of Mexico. And I got to the state first because, well, the proximity and how close my city is to the United States with San Diego, California. And so we had a tourist visa, which allowed us to go do shopping trips and, you know, just, like, visit and visit family and whatnot. So, yeah, and then, like, just we got involved into other things related to music, and that made us more involved with the environment in the States. I teach a sistema program in Mexico and in the States. So we had to work, you know, work with poor socioeconomic backgrounds, and they were just passionate about music, so we just have to work with the kids in group settings. And in Tijuana was an after-school program where the kids, you know, after they're done with school, they go and play their instruments, like have orchestra rehearsals. And in the States was in elementary schools and middle schools during their school program. And it was in the southern area of San Diego, so there's a lot of immigrants, and there's a lot of Mexicans, South Americans, a lot of Asians, so a lot of minorities.
So you got that job right out of high school, right?
Yeah, right after high school. Yeah.
But then you left.
Yeah, I left. I also had another job. I worked teaching English as a second language and also at the Boys and Girls Club of Mexico. So that's why El Sistema was a little bit put to the side, because there's like some other priorities and some other contributions to other institutions. So
you didn't pursue college right away, right?
No, I didn't. I waited a couple of years, so until I would finally get the opportunity to study in the States, because I did try. I did do a year of college in Mexico, but it wasn't what I was expecting it to be, and it didn't fulfill my needs. And I did try getting to the States, auditioning many years, so I waited two or three years after high school graduation. Actually, no, even more. Maybe four.
But you didn't even come to the States first. You started studying in Poland.
Yeah. So before moving to the States for college, I lived in Gdańsk, Poland, which is the north part of Poland, for about 8 months, because I was going to give a try to school there, since school is cheaper, relatively cheaper in Europe. So I was here for a little bit before moving to the States.
How did you hear about Western?
My sister attended the summer music festival in San Francisco, and she met a pianist who at the time was faculty accompanist at Western Illinois University, and she brought that subject to my sister, saying, well, you know, there's this scholarship available for a string quartet, like, would you be interested to apply? But by then, Stephanie had already accepted the offer at University of Wyoming. So she said, you know what, my sister is currently in Europe working into getting into a program, so maybe she might be interested. So I applied, and then they offered me the scholarship for the string quartet while I was in Europe.
And you accepted?
Yes.
So then you flew directly from Poland to the States, right?
Yes. Well, what I did first was, I flew to the States, of course, to make a stop. But I actually didn't move right away. I mean, like, I had to go home and go back to Mexico and take care of paperwork and take care of, you know, visa and all that issue. And I had to resign for good my job, because at that time I had, like, a leave, so it was a permit for a couple of months. So I went back and resigned from all my jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know, I'm just going to move because I'm going to start college. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why I had to go home. And then I was there only for, like, a week to take care of a lot of stuff, and then just, like, fly that right away back to Chicago.
And had you been to Chicago before?
Once only. And that was because I was making a stop somewhere else, but never, you know, like, experienced the city completely, you know, in depth and actually,
Do you remember what it was like traveling from Chicago to Western?
Yes, and it was very shocking, because I did remember, you know, I was used to the California scenery where everything is like buildings everywhere or houses and whatnot. or palm trees. I don't know. And then, so on the train, I remember I was so scared because I'd never been to this place. I had no idea where this place was. And I kept seeing only miles and miles of cornfields and just, like, farms. And I, for a minute, I said, am I in the right place? Like, did I get on the right train? And so I remember asking so many people. And you know, I guess there's so many, there's a bunch of other schools along that journey to Chicago, to Macomb. So I saw a bunch of college kids, you know, just wearing, I don't know, college gear. And so I thought, well, maybe it is. But I wasn't very sure. I wasn't convinced, actually. So I remember when I got off the train, I only had one suitcase. I had my cello, and I had one large bag. That's all I had. I didn't have anything else. And I remember I got out of the station, and I was so scared because I said, I don't think I made the right decision. Like, I don't think this place is... This place looks very sad. There's just nothing. So, and, you know, I had no idea who was going to pick me up. Well, the international department was supposed to pick me up, but it was just, for me, it was crazy to think that there was, like, nothing there.
Yeah, totally. I just think that's funny, because if you don't anticipate the Midwest scenery, I can imagine that it could be really scary.
No, and I, like, never, I mean, I've only, honestly, I'm as ignorant as it can sound, but I've only seen that in movies.
Yeah. With aliens.
Or, you know, like, those serial killers that live in those red barns, you know, and just waiting for you to, like, murder you. I don't know. It's just, like, crazy stuff. So, you know, it was just scary. I said, oh, my gosh, like, I really thought I was in the wrong stop. I said, it doesn't at all seem like a university.
Well, like, I mean, you think college, but you don't really think small-town college.
Right. You think movie college, like, you know, American Pie stuff, you know, just stuff like that.
What were your first few weeks like, and what was it like to meet Margarita for the first time?
I remember getting there, and I've never been, for me, Western was just, like, as good as, I don't know, as I could imagine. Like, wow, the building is great, everything, copies are free, and, you know, you have these practice rooms where nobody practices, you know, just, like, a lot of good opportunities. And so the first few weeks, it was just, everything was new, so everything was wonderful, it was full of surprises, and just, like, knowing people, knowing buildings, so it was just, like, great. And then, of course, it was so funny because I knew there was another girl from South America, but the first thing you think is like, wow, I get to speak my language because I've been trained to deal and articulate properly with English. Did I get my jaws are tired? It was great. I said, yes, I get to talk in Spanish. I think I was more used to the American, I don't want to say American culture, but I was just a little bit more cold in terms of when I met this girl, because, you know, she was so excited and, like, throwing a party when she met me, so she was like, yeah, we're going to get to talk in Spanish, and we're going to, she was just, like, all over the place, jumping up happiness, and I was a little bit more, I think, just cold, maybe it's in my personality, but I was trying to keep things very low-key, you know, you know, I was just there for the reason I came to the States, you know, for working and, you know, and get a degree. And that's, I remember those being my first thoughts. And, of course, when I met Mila, it was like everything was like to try to do things together because we thought, well, we're in this together, right? So if we f*** up, then we f*** up together. And then if you have no idea what this building is, and we're going to be in most of our classes together. So we tried to stick together and talk about our families and our backgrounds and, you know, just talk about our lives and as much as possible. So we spent a lot of time together. But that happens usually when you move to a place, I guess, especially a completely new country and everything. The first few weeks is great. And then the other half is just, it doesn't go downhill, but I think the homesickness effect starts kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that happened to me since I already had been in Poland. So for me, the homesickness situation, I had already gone through the depression and through that stage, which I didn't know that was a completely normal thing to happen, but Mila had a very, very strong break down for many weeks. I remember this because you grew up and you live in different conditions, and then suddenly, like, everything just switches, and just, it's just a different world, so your mind is still in denial that you're in a different place, and your family's not there, and then your friends are no longer there. It's just, at the beginning, you don't understand that. It's like the little stage of grief of just being in another place.
She did not describe your first encounter as in the way that you did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did she say?
She said, oh, this is the person that is going to be in the quartet with me. But I was surprised because I didn't think that she was even Mexican.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is a funny story. So somebody told me that there was this, I remember stopping by the library and I met Rod. He said, oh, your colleague, she just stopped by, so she's carrying her viola. And I was like, okay. So I remember walking between buildings and I see this tiny girl, very skinny girl with short hair, with very dark skin. And I said, all right, this is her. And both super colorful pants and carrying an instrument. So I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure, I'm so positive about her. Like, there's no way, you know what I'm saying?
I was working at the library when she walked in for the first time. I just remember she wandered in and she did a 3-6. I mean, of course, that's like a thing where it's like, if you don't have a library that's set, you've never experienced a music library and you do it for the first time, it feels really amazing.
When she did a 360, I cannot.
So she walked in and she's like, what is this?
Well, I mean, it is shocking. You were in Ohio State, and mm-hmm. for you, it was like, oh, no big deal. I mean,
totally.
This is like, for us, free library, where you can have all that music and check it out for free and make copies and nobody charges for it. It's just crazy because, in our country, it's not that it's impossible, but it's just like people steal shit, and they just take super advantage of those things. It's something in a bad way that they take the privileges out of other people who, like, do are interested and do take care of those things. When Alberto moved to Western, he was in the same boat. He was like, wow, you can actually print things? You can scan music? You can, it was just shocking. Do I have the right to do this?
Yeah, I mean, when I was first at Ohio State in the music library, that was a really big thing for me, too. But yeah, I mean, I do remember speaking with Mila. She left a very strong first impression, but like a positive one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a very, very uplifting energy and very happy and very, hoppy. I remember when I left and I said, my only reason to go somewhere is I want to get a degree so I can get paid well for what I do and get further training of what I need in music. Because when I was in Mexico, I was working as a musician and teaching, but it's one of those things that you play things by ear, but by your experiences, but not with any formal training, So that's what I needed. I needed to, have an education and do things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that. I remember being so, because Mila was just so, you can see her joy. It was just like, I could see like her twirling in the green fields. I don't know, just being Mila,
Yeah, yeah. Did you feel like there were certain challenges that you didn't anticipate?
Writing papers is not that easy. I remember one of my first assignments to write a one-page paper was the craziest thing ever because, again, switching and shifting from one language to the other, Spanish being your everyday language to suddenly speaking English sporadically to, like, suddenly English being 90% of the time. So I think your brain has a little bit of damage. I remember, like, trying to write papers was a big struggle. It was just like, I really can't fail one page. It's just too much. I thought I spoke the language pretty decently, understood very well, and, like, the grammar and everything, but then when trying to write, I was like, wow, I suck. I'm not as good as I thought I was. Taking other subjects in English was just, whoa, like, it's not only the subject that it's hard, but now you have to understand the language and do it in that language and try to do it well, and, you're expected to have a GPA, and whoa. I guess the idea of also dating, like, this is, like, one of those things that I remember also talking with Margarita, that, we, like, never understood the concept of dating. I mean, she just said the same thing, but I really never understood the concept of dating, because this is purely cultural, and it's one of those things that this is not supposed to happen, I really don't get it. It's just...
What was the misunderstanding?
everything just seems so disposable. You know, like I would hear people that say, "Well, I'm going on dates with three guys," and it's like, "Wait, why?" Like, I thought dating was with one person, and there'll be many people actually at the school, not only the school of music in general in school, that say, "No, I'm just going on dates with this amount of guys or this amount of girls," and it's like, "What? And what is that for? Like, competing for the best?" Or I just didn't understand. And then when you officially date, you know, we have a very formal way of asking to date with people. You have to ask the person, "Can we date?" Make it official, and you have to hear from the person to know that you're actually dating and you're a thing, and it's just so formal, you know? But here, you, like, never know, and, like, when you ask somebody, it's like, "Are you guys dating?" And it's like, "Well, I really don't know," and it's like, "What? Like, how do you don't know? Like, have you, like, talked about it?" Or has this person asked you, and they're like, "No, but we're just, you know, I think we're something." It was just, like, so confusing to me. It was just, like, I don't understand. So are you or are you not? Like, you can't just be something in between. Because for us, it says you go on dates, but then with the purpose of eventually dating. So, to me, that was a little weird. But I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, it would be interesting to also, like, study that now, because I feel like within our time of being in college, dating has also evolved in general with technology and apps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is a cultural thing. Dating, it can be confusing.
Yeah.
But I guess the difference between dating and going on dates.
People would use those terms simultaneously. Again, it was my question. It's like, are you guys a thing or not? And it's like, well, we're kind of ours. I've never understood that.
So you lived in Poland, and then you lived in the States, but you also have Tijuana. Out of all those places in your adult life, been living in the States the longest, do you feel like the States are, like, home? What does that even mean to you?
Yeah, I do feel like this is home. I feel like home is where your friends are, and where you do the things you love, and what do you think? I mean, of course, your family, of course, a piece of you is where your family is, but I guess home is where you grow. That's how I see it.
That's really similar to what Margarita said.
I think this is what made me realize that you don't have to have family from blood to take care of you or to worry about you and, you know, help you when you need it the most. I think friends and friends from different backgrounds, that they've become like family. And so I feel like that's where home is.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that we really did have this special thing going with our friends at Western.
I do believe it, too.
Do you have any favorite memories that represented that feeling?
I would say whenever I would have, like, mental breakdowns, or I'd say I feel so weak, and those instances where you get to know your friends better, you get to know their strengths and their weaknesses, whenever there's, like, somebody have something awesome happen to them, everybody would get happy about it. You're like, "Wow, that's great, good for you." When somebody would, like, fuck up, and it's like, "Well, I told you," you know, it was just, like, the kind of thing that we did talk about it. I think it's healthy in a way, because we just always put the cards on the table and talk about things at some point. Regardless of our weaknesses, we would accept. It's like, "All right, yeah, we know how you are." And that's what's always late. It's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, Mila's always flaky. Like, we know that.
I think it's also interesting how universal our experiences are. You, me, and Margarita all had, in our undergrads, major breakups. So we experienced that together. But I also know the three of us started becoming friends, I think, because of this conversation we had with Max about Radiohead. You, me, and Margarita wanted to watch this documentary about Radiohead. And Max was like, "Why would you want to do that? Radiohead is just, like, depressing, just like John Mayer."
Like, when he said that, I said, yeah,
and we just let him have it. And that was, like, really, like, funny. And it was, like, a great bonding experience we had. But also the fact that the thing that stuck out as the thing that was going to be our connection was Radiohead. Also, our hatred of John Mayer.
Oh, yeah,
a few years on the road, you and I had that night where we, around a similar time, like, experienced breakups. We were feeling so sad together, and we decided that we were going to go to my room, mope around, and listen to the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind soundtrack and cry.
Oh my god, this makes me so happy.
That was really sad, and we decided that we would never do that again.
Oh my gosh.
The school of music at Western is really brutal and really hard. Sometimes the only thing you can focus on is, like, where you're going to be in the next few minutes, the next rehearsal, and then bed, and then bye, good night, and then wake up and do the same stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there isn't really even time to assess the situation. But I also remember one time we were home for a break, and you, me, and Mila went for a car ride, and we also had a moment where, like, we were super overwhelmed, and there was, like, a meltdown, and then we were like, okay, we got this.
Yeah, and I remember just sobbing completely, just in pieces.
It was a lot. That being said, we've cried a lot together.
That's our bonding experience.
Yeah.
No, but I did experience homesickness.
Do you want to talk about it? Tell me.
Well, I mean, like, I remember, for example, I remember the first year, even, oh my gosh, even sometimes the second year, it was a struggle, because sometimes, you know, there would be, because we're close to our families, and we, whenever a big event, like family visiting others, and like, oh, you should be here, and stuff like that, like, it was bad. And I remember my first year, my aunt, in April, I think, my dad's sister, who was very close to us and very dear, she passed away, and so it was hard because, like, we couldn't be there. And the same thing happened now was when our grandma died.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I like accepted that a little bit different because I think I was just like, of course, my mind was like, I should be here, and I can't be there. You know, I just can't be there when she's gone.
Yeah.
I think it hit me, but not as bad as that one first year. It was bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes when, like, things wouldn't work out, or I'd be like, this is hard, or just not, I don't feel like I'm feeling expectations or and whatnot. Like, I would just call my parents and be like, you know, I don't think I'm in the right track. But here's what's weird. And when I was in Poland, I also struggled with homesickness. I did have a lot of depression. Yeah, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't know why. I had the feeling that I was going to come back, that it wasn't going to be permanent. So I was just like, oh, yeah, no big deal. I'm here for audition to schools and stuff like that and get ready. But I know I'm going to go back, but whereas in Macomb, I just feel like I don't know when I will be back. And I guess it's the same thing that Mila experienced, because she's like, I really want to go back, but I don't have the money, so I don't know when will I see my family. I think Stephanie had a very, 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 very strong problem of homesickness. Like, she had it rough.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, we had such a strong close-knit community of international students that we were able to sort of support each other, and I don't know that she had the same. I'll definitely be talking to her at some point, so we'll get to hear about it. Do you think that you might return to Mexico?
I can't say no, but I can't say yes. I wouldn't like to.
You would or you would not?
I would not.
Ideally, where would you be?
Like, if I had a preference of what country were to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would stay here, definitely. And I know there's so many other advantages in Mexico, such as free healthcare and, you know, other... again, it's not about that. It's about what you build here. I feel like the States, regardless of their problems, I feel it's a place that definitely you can get many other opportunities that other countries can't give you, like, can't. And also... that there's always openness to new things, you know. Because Mexico is, it's a beautiful country, but in so many other aspects, it's just so close-minded and so behind that, you know, suddenly to try to change a whole generation is impossible. Like, you can't fight against that. And it's just, you know, even simple things as, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but simple things as, for example, gay people, like, I don't, you know, for me, it's not a big deal, and you can, but people from Mexico tend to make a big deal out of it, because, again, they're not used to it. They're not, they haven't been exposed enough. And again, because people don't open themselves to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, whenever I make a comment about, like, oh, you know, this happened, I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but, oh, like, my friend Luke and his boyfriend, and then my dad is like, his boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, his boyfriend? Like, what about it? Like, how is this comment suddenly more important than what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know? When I hear it from my dad, it just surprises me. And for me, that's so disrespectful. And when I hear from my mom's in-laws and stuff, and it just makes me angry. So I wouldn't. The answer is no. If I could.
You don't see yourself going to Europe?
Not really. Not anymore.
For a person who is coming into the country, how can citizens of the United States be more supportive or helpful for visitors or immigrants?
Just to make them feel welcome, make them feel like they're not alone. And even if you don't know the language, that it's okay. You'll get there, but because we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just takes some time and just make them feel welcome, that's what I think. Just make them feel like they're not alone and make sure they know that we're not that different after all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a problem. Like, whenever there's some minority of some kind, and they're like, oh, you're from this, you know, like, immediately with the labels and whatever, like, that automatically, or, oh, are you Muslim? And it's like, yeah, and so what? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not that different.